We'll call the Joint Committee on Legislative Administration to order. Today is Wednesday, September 18th. Welcome. We have several items. We will hold on the action items until we have a quorum, but we are allowed to at least open the committee to take presentations, and we'll open an informational meeting on the History Gateway Project and the Capital Master Plan update.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Kevin Hayden. I am the legislative administrator, and last year at almost this exact time, you approved the strategic plan for the History Gateway. Since that time, we have been doing a lot of work, but you probably haven't been seeing much because there's not a lot that is out to be seen yet, because it's all the planning and work behind the scenes to make sure that we get this right. So we just wanted to provide an update and let you know where we are and where we're going. As background, the History Gateway is being funded through funds provided from the Pacific Wonderland license plates. To date, the Oregon State Capitol Foundation's potential share of license plates is $1.8 million. Each plate is sold, generates about $100, with 50% going to the foundation and 50% to the Oregon Historic Society. As of August, about half of the plates have been sold, and the about $900,000 has gone to the Capitol Foundation so far. We're averaging about $20,000 a month in income to the foundation. So the funds are coming in nicely, and we should be able to easily make it through each phase that we have planned. The phase one, it's a two-year plan and as outlined in the strategic plan, but phase one will use about $700,000 in funds, with the remaining funds for later development, design, and implementation. So what we've been working on is the interpretive plan for the project, knowing what our goals are, what our messages are, how we want to try to get those goals and messages out to the public as they either visit the website or come into the building. The primary interpretive goal is to increase participation in Oregon's democracy, with the secondary goal to increase interest in Oregon's history, and especially in history of the government. So what we really know so far is that the tours will continue and be an integral part of the plan. I know that there have been a lot of concerns about what's going to happen with the tours. That is one thing that people love, and they are going to remain. Room 148, which is a conference room that we use quite heavily, is going to be dedicated for use of the History Gateway. A history pathway or a walking tour is going to be developed so that if you come in and you only have 20 minutes, you can decide how far you want to go through the pathway that's in the building. The window case exhibits will be tied specifically to the interpretive plan and the goals. So in the past, those cases have been designed and were just kind of there. They may have had great messages, but they may not have necessarily been tied to what we were trying to put out. So we now have a process to where we will work with whoever is designing it to have review throughout the process as they design it and develop it, so that when it goes in, it's not a surprise, and we know that it ties into the messages that we're trying to get across. We're looking at the development of additional movable exhibits, which will be located in several spaces in the visitor area, so that we can put them up when times like now, where there aren't a lot of people in, but when we have large crowds in, we can move them back out of the way and make room for other things that are going on. We're not planning right now on any major infrastructural modifications, because it doesn't make sense in light of the master plan to spend a lot of money in tearing out and redesigning when we're going to be, as I'll talk about later, hiring an architect and talking about what we're really going to do to the building long term. So everything that we do right now is going to be within the existing guidelines or parameters of the building. The preliminary interpretive plan will be available in early October. We have a draft. We're going over it with Dr. Dave Busey, who is our contract interpretive planner, and he's doing fantastic work getting us moved along and keeping us focused on how to get this developed. Some of the deliverables include detailed floor plans and drawings. written description of exhibits throughout the entire Capitol that could be developed and used, with specific information and recommendation regarding content and technological strategies. The 2014 display case exhibit will align with the goals and messages. This is the first time we're running through that. That project is in the design phase. They did a 10% review already, and we're given the go-ahead to keep moving forward, and it will be open on February 14, 2014, the state's birthday. So it will be on time and look fantastic. The other part of this is a branding project for the History Gateway, which has gone through a lot of names since it was originally put in legislation. It was a history center. It's been the History Gateway. So we're working on a branding project so that as you move through the building, if what you're looking at is part of our interpretive plan and part of the walking path, you will be able to easily pick those out and identify those things, and we'll be able to replicate it in whether it's online, print material, or in the building. It will have the same look and feel throughout. The branding project is scheduled to be concluded in mid-November. They'll give us logos, fonts, color schemes, scripts and storyboards that can be seen, and guidelines for any future people who work on this, so that we know how to continue to use, since we certainly don't have graphic designers and branding experts just rampant in legislative administration. Upcoming projects in phase one, year two, we're currently working on the website content to go into the new website development, some brochure development, the tour program development, and exhibit construction. So that is where we are right now, and it is actually, we're very encouraged both by everything that we're getting from the contractor, and it looks like we'll be able to move forward on time and keep making this a better place for people to visit with a more concise message.
Thank you, Kevin. Questions for Kevin around the History Gateway project update? Thank you. I think just hold tight. I'm going to close the informational just on this for a moment. Since we now have quorum, we'll go to the action items. We have to approve rules, and we have an appointment issue for the foundation, and then we'll come back to the informational on the Capitol Master Plan. So we'll close the informational hearing, and I'm going to
open.
We
don't have a quorum.
Do you need a quorum?
We still don't have a quorum on the Senate side.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Oh, we need another senator. I think Senator Courtney might be on his way.
I'm sorry, I miscounted.
We had another meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, let me check.
Really, and Courtney?
There are six senators?
It's because Senator Starr and Senator Byers and alternate, the Senator Starr is...
Thank you, I'm looking at nameplates. Okay, we're still in the informational hearing. So... No questions further on the History Gateway project. Looking forward to that. I'm glad to hear there'll still be the actual in-person tours if people want them, but having an option on a walking tour would be great. So, Kevin, do you want to take us to the Capitol Master Plan update?
Absolutely. The other major project that we are currently working in legislative administration is the Capitol Master Plan. At the last meeting of LAC, Gary Wilhelm presented the report from the Capitol Master Plan Review Committee that laid out a very good roadmap for us to take through the next 2 years, and then to set us on the right path through the entire project. So we immediately started executing on that, and thanks to legislation that was passed during this past session, we have bonding authority for just over $34 million to proceed into the design phase of the Capitol Master Plan. We are working with DAS right now so that we do the bonding in a phased approach so that we don't get too much money and start debt service too soon, so that we're only paying bills when we need it. So, for example, in the November bond sale, we'll take $8 million, and then as we move forward, we'll see for the next one. So we're working with them, and are no issues in getting the money that we need to move forward. As described in the review committee's report, we're going to be doing the master plan through what's called the integrated project delivery model, which means that we basically build the team up front. We bring in the an owner representative, we bring in the architects and engineers, and we bring in the construction manager, general contractor, all at the same time, and start the team up front so that we don't end up with an architect who designs something that 6 months from now an engineer or a construction manager says, we can't build that, or that's not quite possible. So the team will work together. We had to do a finding of facts to support this alternative method. We held a public hearing on July 31st with only positive feedback from both the construction and architectural communities. They all felt that if we didn't try to do a project like this in that model, that we were probably destined for failure. So we are continuing on. We have already issued the request for proposal for the owner's representative, for the CMGC, and for the architect and engineer. The owner's rep has closed. We have three bidders who are all technically qualified that we will be bringing to interview shortly, tomorrow, and hopefully moving through them and figuring out who will be the best suited to represent us. Once an owner's representative is selected, we will be moving on to the CMGC. The owner's rep will be part of that selection process. Once the contractor is selected, they will be part of the process to help us select the architect, so that each part of the team helps to build the next part based on their role and where they are.
Kevin, CMGC.
Construction manager, general contractor.
Thank you. Senator Johnson, do you have a question?
I do. I think this occurred before your arrival here, but we were incredibly fortunate to have a clerk of the works slash owner's representative when we did the improvements the last time. It was an individual. I get the impression that you are interviewing firms to be the owner's representative, or how? I'm just trying to understand how that works.
That's correct. For this project, there will be a firm of representatives with some of them here full-time, some of them here part-time, depending on their specialty and what they do. But there will be a full-time owner's representative in the building representing that firm at all times.
Follow-up, Senator?
I do have follow-up, and I am hoping to catch Senator Courtney's attention. my concern is that the process you've described has a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of things. And what I appreciated so much with our last owner's rep was that he was the ultimate responsibility. And the dynamic that you just described sounds like a whole lot of people going like this. Plus, the expense must just be breathtaking. I'm going to need some help to understand why multiple owner's representatives is a good idea.
Well, the owner's representative is the one firm. They, each one, because of the complexity of this, they will be bringing in people who are helping on the seismic, helping on the engineering, helping on the various parts. The full-time person that will be the 100% in here will be the key lead person for their team. Similar to the way that for the actual owner, I'll be sitting in that hot seat, even though there's all of you who have a interest and a say in what happens, all of the people in facilities who will be a part of this. As we come together, the team, you'll have multiple people from the architect's office, multiple people from the engineer, and then the owner's rep. But the idea is you build together, rather than having one person pointing the finger and saying this is what you do, is that you develop that teamwork, and that the owner's representative is that project management team with the one person who's here full time who will work through it.
But there'll still be a single point of accountability.
There will be a single point of accountability within that, but we are bringing more people in because of the complexity of this versus what was done during the wings renovation.
Does that help? A follow-up on that, anyone?
Well, I need to talk to you more. because I don't understand all your words. I know what Senator Johnson's driving it. I know who the player was. I know what he did. And I know how remarkably successful we were under budget, beyond ahead of schedule. And it's because of, not just because he was a former Marine captain. It's just what we stumbled on this idea. We would not have ordinarily done it. We'd have gone with your position to get us through the wings. And I realize this is a much more multifaceted program. But when you're mentioning all these people, I still want to know, is there going to be one hard-driving clerk of the works that who's, you know, and that's all I can tell. I can't tell from your remarks, not your fault, but I think that's what Senator Johnson was driving at. But it's what I am, I will come down. That will be very important to me to the extent I'm still alive or whatever I am in this project. That'll be the one individual. I know what I'm looking for because I know they're out there.
Senator Courtney, if I may, as part of the interview process as we're going through that, that is something that we hope to work out, is how that team that we're looking to hire, how they're going to respond to that. And that's how the selection process will work, is you will be most comfortable with the one that you select, that they will have that capability to meet your needs.
Thank you.
Should be interesting interviews tomorrow. I just want to check with the colleagues a moment. We can continue this conversation. Does anyone have a time sensitive? We can go to the action items that require quorum first and come back to this.
I am going to
okay.
be time sensitive.
If you wouldn't mind, Kevin, we're going to close the information on the Capital Master Plan, and I'd like to open the organizational meeting. You have a copy of the interim committee rules, colleagues, and I'll entertain a motion to adopt the proposed committee rules.
So moved.
So moved. Senator Johnson just got right in there. Senator Johnson has moved adoption of the committee rules.
I would like to second that amendment.
And Representative Klain seconds that. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion passes. Rules are adopted. Please note that Representative Hoyle, Representative Nathanson, and Representative Garrett are excused on the House side, and Senator Starr is excused on the Senate side. We're going to close the organizational meeting and open a public hearing on the appointment of the members of the Oregon State Capital Foundation. And you also have something from the foundation in front of you. Kevin, please announce yourself for the record before you start.
Again, I'm Kevin Hayden, Legislative Administrator. In front of you and on OLIS is a copy of the nominating committee report from the Oregon State Capital Foundation to appoint three new members and to reappoint several standing members to the Oregon State Capital Foundation. For new appointment would be Ms. Shane Griggs to fill the resignation for Bill Markham, and Ms. Judy Hall to fill the vacancy resulting from the resignation of Ms. Kathy Bo Duncan, whose terms expire in June of 2014. And then the new members, or the members being reappointed, would be Mr. Herb Colum, Mr. Paul Hanneman, Ms. Ginny Lang, Mr. Fred Neal, Ms. Joan Plank, and Ms. Annette Price, and all terms whose terms expire June 30th, 2013.
Thank you, Kevin. Comments, questions? Senator Johnson?
Thank you. Having served on the Capital Foundation Board, I make this observation based on that experience. I have always had a disconnect between the notion that this is the people's building, we justify improvements in it as being the people's building, we talk about including Oregonians, and it seems over and over again that the nominations come from a pretty closed shop. This seems like a lot of inside baseball folks, and they're all wonderful people, and they love this building, and that ought to be the sine qua non for service on the foundation. But I wonder whether or not the net is being cast wide to find other people with an interest in the building. Historians, ordinary citizens who make pilgrimage to this building with their children and their grandchildren. I worry that this is increasingly a self-perpetuating, self-appointing, they all know each other board. And I just don't know to what degree the nominating committee struggled to find people who aren't part of the family so that we can begin to inculcate in other Oregonians the love of this building, the understanding of its historic significance, and frankly, to invite their advocacy when we spend lots of money to repair the building. I'd like to know when I look back over my shoulder and say, ain't that so, Oregonians, that there's a bunch load of Oregonians back there. And this slate does not feel that way. Now, correct my misjudgments about this. If there was robust discussion and no other souls were found, I get that. But are there printed criteria to try to solicit additional members? The old axiom of work, wealth, wisdom, or wallop, I mean, I don't know what you use for criteria to find board members, but these guys all have some prior connection with the building, and I'm looking for some fresh blood.
That's a question.
That is a question, Senator Johnson. Co-chair Kotek, what I can say is I cannot speak for Gary Wilhelm, who is the chair of the nominating committee personally. I know I have sat in some of the executive committee meetings where they have had similar conversations about the development and how they were going to go about bringing new blood in and bringing fresh people in. I don't know if Mr. Fred Neal, who is the vice president or co-chair of the foundation, might have a few more words of wisdom that he would like to bring forward at this time.
Thank you, Kevin. Co-chairs, Senator Johnson, Fred Neal, vice chair of the Oregon State Capitol Foundation. Your concerns are shared by the executive committee and by Mr. Wilhelms and by Ms. Cease, who is chair, and myself, and we are trying to cast a broader net. If you have any recommendations, we're certainly open to them. It requires someone who cares about the building, and normally that's somebody who's had some experience with the building, mm-hmm. we think, in order to have that passion to spend the volunteer time to be involved. As Kevin pointed out, we have enough funds from the license plates to install a history center. We don't have enough funds and won't, once the license plates are sold, to sustain that history center and to make sure that it is a living center for the public, for the citizens that bring their children and grandchildren here or their partners, and that that's our primary concern looking forward. We're having our annual retreat in October, and we'll be looking at how to be an effective organization past getting the gateway started and making this a sustainable organization and making sure that the gateway is a living entity that will be sustained to increase awareness and love for this building and what it represents.
Respectfully, and Mr. Neal and I go back a long ways together. We graced chairs in law school simultaneously. I appreciate your answer, but that was the same thing that I heard when I joined the foundation board a long time ago. I don't see any, I don't have the current roster in front of me, but to the best of my knowledge, none of the nominees right now are east of the mountains. And having grown up in a part east of the mountains, I that troubles me. I just don't know whether an effort, I'm thinking of people in Pendleton who value history and value their relationship with this building. I'm thinking of people in Bend and Redmond. And I just don't know whether you've reached out to the legislators in those districts and said, could you give me some of the on-the-ground names that you might deal with that share a passion for Oregon's history and this, the seat of government? I guess I hear your answer. I appreciate the retreats. I did the seat time in the retreats, and the problem hasn't ameliorated. And so I'm looking for something a little more transactional and a little less aspirational.
Well, it's that, and I would also add that I believe I've only sat on OIC a couple times, but these have been similar comments that Senator Johnson has made. So if you have a retreat in October, sounds like we would love to see a report the next time the OIC meets on, you know, what is the number of folks you can have on the board. If you need to expand the number, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how you find some, you know, seats of folks who are the public from other parts of the state as well. So can we have a report back on your plan to get there? That would be really helpful. Representative?
And I know a normal person. He lives in Eagle Point.
Okay.
And has one of the best private collection
oh, yes. I know.
Of history memorabilia, including Oregon and Oregon campaigns. I'll keep his name secret. His initials are Bob Russell, and he's the mayor of Eagle Point. But,
yeah.
And I think he's normal. But
well, he's a little obsessive.
but
he's fantastic talent, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, one idea could be, you know, if you want me to give him a call, I'd be happy to do it.
Well.
But he's a guy that doesn't hang out in Salem.
If I use
that's the
word
definition of
normal, I want to apologize on the record for that. That was...
That's my word, Senator.
Okay, well,
less,
I didn't want to cast...
capital affected,
I just didn't want to cast any aspersions on anybody accidentally or in an attempt to be humorous. I'm just saying folks that haven't worked here or had some embedded relationship.
Thank you, Senator. Representative?
Yes, as a appointed representative on this foundation, this has been under discussion, and we certainly have another representative who's been appointed. Has he been appointed?
Yes, I believe so.
And I purposefully scouted within outside, and it's John Huffman coming from outside of the Salem area. I share your feeling. We need folks from all over Oregon, and to that end, I personally recruited, so you know.
Thank you, Representative. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on the nominations and open a work session on appointments to the Oregon State Capitol Foundation.
Madam Chair, I move that the appointment and reappointment of members to the Oregon State Capitol Foundation as submitted in the September 18, 2013 nominating committee report be confirmed.
Representative McLean moves that the appointment and reappointment of members of the Capitol Foundation be confirmed. Is there any further discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. And excused, Nathanson, Garrett, and Hoyle, and Senator Starr. With that, we will close the work session and reopen the informational hearing where we last left off at the Capitol Master Plan. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you. Just getting back to where I was. So once we have the team put together with the owner's rep, the general contractor, the architects and engineers, one of the key concepts of IPD is called the big room concept, where you have everybody working together at least a large part of the time. During the interim, rather than going out and renting space, we have space that Committee Services usually occupies on the third floor that will give us more than enough space so that we don't have to spend more to do this, and we'll be able to work up there, get the people on board, and have them working in the building and start to really understand the culture of the building and how it works and flows, so that as they start to design the project as we move forward, they won't say, well, there's not a problem with taking away the whole parking garage for the next short session so that we can park trailers or something under there, without thinking about all of the impacts and everything that goes into that. So we will be moving in up there, and we should have the full core team in place as each of the RFPs close and we hire by early November. All of this was put together. We hired a pre-planning consultant to help us develop that budget and the plan and to get us to this point, and they did an absolutely fantastic job in shaping us and helping us develop the budget proposals that we needed and how much money we needed and when, and keeping it to just enough on time so that we are hopefully being as good of stewards of public funds as possible. And we were that close to the finish of my comments when we stopped. So that's all I have for right now.
Thank you, Kevin. And as you've noted, we'll have some interviews tomorrow that some of us will be participating in. Questions for Kevin on the Capitol Master Plan? I see Representative Smith, Representative McLean. Representative Smith?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I want to go back to Senator Johnson's question and go down that path. So if I hear you correctly, you're anticipating a team approach to project management. Within that team, are we going to be selecting one of them to be the leaders, or will we have an outside leader overseeing that team?
The owner's representative acts as...
And can I clarify really quick? Because I think I do construction. I do a lot of construction financing. I want to make sure everyone understands what owner representative means. Can you take that to an eighth grade level?
I will do my best, Chair Kotek, Representative Smith. The owner's representative in this role, think of them as we are the owner, and I am not in the construction business. We have a facility staff who have a lot of experience, but not doing a project of this size and complexity. So they provide that insight and knowledge to make sure that when we hire a general contractor and start to work with them, that they have the right team in place to help us understand exactly the information that's being thrown at us, to make sure that the decisions we're making, as we're saying what we want to do is this, that it gets understood and translated to the architects and engineers and technicians, and that we are all working together as a team. In the IPD process, they act as sort of the hub of the team to make sure that the owner and the other entities, the architects, engineers, seismic people, historic people, that all of the people that are going to come together on this project fully understand and work together in a cooperative manner to get the project done, and will serve as also our representative, keeping us abreast of the costs and potential pitfalls that some of the suggestions may have and risks that they may have to us as the owner, as far as timeline for when we want to be in, or cost, or just safety.
Okay. I just have a few string of questions here. So then, if I heard you correctly, we will have then one person who will be ultimately responsible that will report to the president and the speaker. Is that correct?
That is correct. I will be, you know, in there talking to them as the day-to-day representative, but they will be kept fully informed, and any major decisions will certainly be moved forward.
Okay, just a quick follow-up. So would you anticipate that this committee, along with leadership, will be receiving regular construction updates, including timelines, completion of project by percentage, budget, where we are within that process, et cetera?
I absolutely believe that, and that's one of the key factors, is to make sure that that information is available to this committee and to the public so they can see how we are doing and where we are going. Several of the teams that put together pre-planning consultant bids had looked at our process and liked the fact, because one of them has worked with several other states, but they liked the fact that LAC existed so that the legislature was fully represented, because in other states they had to put together a team of legislators to serve in that purpose. So,
and would you assume those reports are going to be provided to leadership and to us quarterly, monthly?
Those decisions,
monthly, because of the fast nature of construction?
Those decisions haven't been fully structured yet, because we haven't brought the owner's representative on board. During the design phase, it's more likely, I was thinking more of quarterly, because during the design phase, they're going to be doing a lot of destructive and non-destructive testing to see what they're going to be working with, working on designs, and so it's not as much as fast. As soon as we get to construction, I could easily see it going to a monthly report, depending on the status of what's going on. If the desire of leadership is for it to be more often, we will certainly work with the owner's rep and work to meet whatever the need of the legislature is and what the committee is.
And once the owner's rep is hired, we could certainly have a recommendation of, and then have a discussion here of how often we want, what kind of level of information we want.
But. And that's perfect, Madam Speaker. My last comment was going to be just that. I think we as a committee ought to have a real discussion with what are those reportables back to the committee. What do we want to see, and how regular? I would strongly advocate monthly, not quarterly, monthly. That's just my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Smith. And I think the value of LAC being part of this is that we have a breadth of expertise of people who have different questions. Obviously, Senator Courtney and I are brilliant and all-knowing and omnipotent, but you know, it doesn't. We always need help. Representative Clay?
Offering a counterpoint. So just to make sure I understand, because you've talked a lot about construction phase, but where we are is that we've approved funding for design. We've not approved funding for construction, because is that correct?
That is correct.
And we don't even know how much it's going to cost.
We have a budget based on our pre-planning consultant has put together a budget working with industry representatives, talking about the types of things we expect to do. But until you're correct, until we actually do the testing and see what the earth feels like and what's behind all the walls, you know, it could impact. So we will be coming back during the 2000 or the next long session with the actual budget and asking for permission to move forward on the construction phase with real knowledge, with real plans, and moving out of the conceptual what we would like to do, which is what we've been doing up to this point.
May I follow up?
Yes.
So I'm sure we could all have different opinions about what the likelihood is that the estimate is accurate. But when it comes to what it currently is, just remind me again, how much money does the current estimate believe that the taxpayers will have to bond and spend in order to make the improvements that you anticipate being made?
Including the $34 million that's currently in there, the total budget for this project as designed in the master project right now is approximately $295 million.
Can I ask, do we know how much this building cost when it was created?
I actually do.
Do you need a lifeline?
I do not, but I will certainly.
Madam Chair, if I may, yes, last Friday I took the Capitol tour with my relatives who were visiting, and the docent explained to me it cost $2.5 million in 1938.
Do we happen to know what that is in 2013 dollars?
No, I can do that math.
Okay.
I know that the Capital Master Plan Review Committee looked at what the cost of building a new capital would be, what the cost of repairing this one, and they went through those, and they were part of the review committee's recommendations. I don't know those numbers off the top of my head right now, what the actual cost or value is.
May I ask it? So is it true or not true that Prineville has become the alternative site for the new Capitol?
The Capitol must be inside the confines of the city of Oregon, or city of Salem, I'm sorry. So I have not heard anything about the discussion of Prineville, I'm sorry.
Unless there's a constitutional change.
Unless there's a constitutional change.
Okay.
Well, we'll be working on that. Thank you.
Better
not. One of the other questions that I have had, only because it came up in a meeting about a week ago, is the $295 million, I presume, is the working estimate right now to do the building. There is a whole other subset of costs that include relocation of the legislature and all the rest of that. And, colleagues, I just want to share with you that agencies are already using the redo of this building as justification for building other edify scattered throughout the capital city. The sooner that you have some kind of at least rough plan of what some of the other moving logistical pieces are and the costs pertinent to those, that would be very helpful. And, Madam Speaker, I need to be excused.
You are excused, Senator. Thank you. Any other comments or questions for Kevin? Thank you. Look forward to the next report on that. And, colleagues, with that, I'll close the informational meeting on the Capital Master Plan, and there's no further business.
Madam Chair.
Oh, Representative Berger?
Yes, the Capitol is celebrating its birthday on October 1st.
Yes.
We have not mentioned this celebration, and another thing that I got on my tour up above was a look at the birthday candles that are going up on top of the building, which should be a stunning visual.
Right.
And you're all welcome, and I know we'd love to have you be part of this special celebration. Those of us who live within the confines of Salem understand the real importance of this as not just the seat of government, but the seat of history, and we're going to celebrate, so come to the birthday party.
Thank you for that reminder, Representative, and luck would have it, some of us may be around the day before, and we'll be not having any vacation plans. And we'll be available on October 1st. So with that, if there are no other items, we are adjourned. Thank you, colleagues.